Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace? Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. That makes the Stuff You Should Know. It feels like it's been forever since we've been in the studio.
Yeah.
This chair, my chair no longer stinks. I had time to air out.
And you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If we could roll the first 3 minutes before we actually hit record on this puppy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What?
Gold.
You think so?
I think, what are the ones they give for spoken word? You can get a Grammy for that?
Sure. Or if it's like videotaped and broadcast on TV, you can conceivably get an Emmy for it.
I think we could win every award with our 3 minutes before and after we record.
Huh.
And people out there now are like, oh, I want to hear it so bad.
They get this. That's it. This is what you get, and you'll like it.
For your freeness.
Right.
All right.
By the way, go like us on Facebook, will you? It would help us out. Personally, Chuck and I would be helped out if you go on to Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow, our Facebook page, and like us. Get us to 50,000. Can you please get us to 50,000?
And for the gentleman who said that it makes him want to unlike it because we ask people to like it, what's going on, buddy? What's going on in your life?
So, Chuck,
it's called marketing.
You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? Let's market some agritourism.
Okay.
I have an intro.
Let's hear it.
So, back in 2007, a little news item may have slipped past because it was south of the border, Florida. A guy named...
That's usually Mexico when you say that, by the way.
A guy named... We're not in Texas. We're in Georgia.
All right.
So south of the border means Florida.
Okay.
A guy named Ronald Evans Sr.
Uh-huh.
And his wife, Jaquita Evans, got some pretty hefty time. Ron Evans got 30 years for what amounted to indentured servitude, right? This guy ran some Florida labor camps where people would go and, like, this is where they would stay and bunk and eat at night. And then during the day, they get bused to farms to work, right?
Orange groves, that kind of thing?
Wherever. I think lettuce is big there too. That's all legal and kosher.
Sure.
They even actually employed the homeless. They would go around to Miami, Baton Rouge, New Orleans. I don't think they came to Atlanta, but they went to big cities in the Southeast and recruited homeless people living on the street and said, "Hey, we can give you a job."
That's great.
Yeah. The problem came with the indentured servitude part.
Mm-hmm.
They had a company store at their labor camp, and it sold a gallon of wine for $40. And you should know right off the bat that you can't get a good gallon of wine. That's all cheap.
Sure.
So they had really inflated prices. Cigarettes were through the roof.
Right.
And the crack cocaine was above market value, the stuff they sold at the company store that they eventually got all the guys addicted to.
Wow.
Gave them advances of crack against their paychecks and basically got these guys mired in debt to where they were indentured servants.
Wow.
Slaves.
And slave labor.
The guy finally got busted.
Boy, he probably thought he was a really smart dude.
Yeah, because he was running them not just in Florida, but in North Carolina and possibly South Carolina as well.
He's like, I've discovered something really, really great.
Right. So that is the exact opposite of agritourism.
And that's your setup?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah?
I didn't see where that was going because the whole time I was thinking, all right, that's fine. He's paying these people, gets homeless people, puts them to work, puts them up in a bunk. What's the problem?
Yeah.
$40 gallon of wine.
Well, the crack's crack. Kind of a big problem, too. Yeah. He had all the farmers paying him in cash
right. In
return for the labor, so he could go buy massive amounts of crack. So the company store never ran out of crack, from what I understand.
Well, and they were probably fairly secluded, you know. It's probably the only store around. They probably didn't have cars.
No.
They probably depended on that store.
They did.
And that crack.
Yes. So, like I said, that's the opposite of agritourism. What is the positive, I guess, what is agritourism?
Well, it's when you want to attract guests and visitors to come to your business, your farm, to either observe or actually take part in the business, the family business.
Okay, let's go.
Is that good?
That's it. That was agritourism explained.
Like, you know, let's just give it one example. Say you can go to California and you can stay at a winery, and instead of just kicking back on the porch all day and sampling wine, you can go out and you can pick the grapes and you can learn how it's done and lend a hand and eat the food that's produced there, maybe if it's a farm, that kind of thing.
So I think Sideways, the film, was entirely bankrolled by the California agritourism cartel.
Was it really?
I think so. I mean, think about it. Like, the whole movie's about an agritourism trip. That's essentially...
Sure.
Not even essentially. Like, that is in every way agritourism. Like, they went from one winery to another winery. And they watched the grapes get stomped. Did they participate in grape stomping? I don't remember.
Don't remember. But did you ever see that video on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
Of the woman stomping grapes?
Yeah, here in Atlanta at Chateau Lawn.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was Fox 5 that it happened on. And have you seen Keyboard Cat play her out? Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's really sad because she seems genuinely hurt, but the noise that she makes, it's once you hear it once, it is stuck in your craw forever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's grape stomping.
So that's a pretty good example of agritourism, right?
Gone wrong.
I think we should, well, yes.
In her case.
But Sideways is a good example.
I took that tour.
I know. For your 30-something.
Well, no. That was birthday? Northern California. We did the little, that Sideways was down in southern, like Santa Barbara.
Oh, I thought it was in Napa Valley.
No,
it was in Napa.
No, it was in
Santa Barbara. It was.
Well, then all those places I went to that were in the movie must have been wrong.
In the movie, it's supposed to be Napa. $5.
Okay, I'll bet you.
Chuck just shook on it.
I actually
You're
went to the one winery with the guy with the big beard. I actually hung out with that guy for like an hour drinking wine.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The dude from the movie. And, like, we were the only people in there. The sun was setting. It was one of those magical moments.
That sounds touching.
Yeah.
So, Chuck, what's the point of agritourism?
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.
Well, it helps. It's because farmers are having to diversify a little bit in most cases.
Yeah.
To make dough.
Yeah. I read a...
Sadly.
With the advent of the factory farm, right, we've got a very small percentage of farms, number-wise, right?
Yeah.
Say one factory farm equals one farm. But it's an enormous farm.
Yeah.
in both like revenue and, you know, acreage.
Sure.
Production. They represent a very small number of the number of farms, but a disproportionately large total of the revenue made and of the stuff produced in the U.S., right?
So that's industrialization.
Right. And one of the other aspects of industrial, I know where you're going next, but one of the other aspects of industrialization is apparently you have to have a gross revenue of $50,000 a year from your farm to start to actually be able to sustain your family.
Really?
Through farming.
Wow.
75% in 2007, 75, no, I'm sorry, 2010, this year, 75% of farms in the U.S. made less than $50,000 gross a year. So this is one of the reasons why they're saying, well, I don't really want to give up farming and become a city slicker because I hate city slickers.
Right.
But I like city slickers' money, so let's supplement our income and start some agritourism.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's a great reason.
What's the other reason that farmers are being forced to go into agritourism, Chuck?
I'm glad you asked. Globalization, because with the way shipping is now and communication around the world and things move at the speed of light, you're not just competing with the farm like in your county or in your state. You're competing with like a farm across the universe from yourself or the world.
The world. The world's bad enough. Don't bring the galaxy into this.
Seriously.
You're in big trouble.
Those moon farmers.
We get intergalactic competition going.
Moisture farmers.
So we've got globalization, industrialization. Those are pretty much the two big drivers of agritourism.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't put it past farm folks to be, smart.
Yeah.
You know, farm smart. Isn't that what they call it?
I never heard that, but I love that term.
I thought I picked that up from you.
No.
Are you sure?
No. I never have heard that before.
Well, there's farm smart.
Farm strong. I've said that.
No. That's live strong.
Okay.
Farm smarts.
All right.
So, Chuck, there's a few different ways that this can pan out, right?
Yeah.
Let's say you're at the $49,000 level and you don't care about new stuff. You're just fine sewing your old clothes, but you want to keep farming. You would use agritourism as like a supplementary income, right?
Yeah, just add a little. Like you might do tours, things like that.
Right.
And you know, I should add that when I was a kid, was it Robert that wrote this? Robert Lamb?
Yeah, it's an unusually thin article from Robert Lamb of stuff to blow your mind.
Well, he makes a point early on that it provides a connection that people has been lost between the stuff we put in our body and the person.
Yeah.
Because I read that and it really hit home because when I was a kid, and this wasn't in like the 1920s, we got our milk from a farm right here in Atlanta. And it wasn't weird. Like, we drove to this farm, and they had you pull up to the cooler room, and there was a guy standing there on the porch, and he would just ask what you need, and he'd go in the cooler room and go get it for you. And it wasn't like, I wasn't a hillbilly, and it wasn't the 1920s. This was like in the 70s and 80s in DeKalb County, Georgia.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, that seems really weird to get anything outside of a grocery store.
It's not weird. It's more like token. It's like a token experience, right?
Yeah.
And that by the way, is direct marketing agritourism, where like you drive to the farm and like you just pull up to a farm stand or something on the side of the road.
Sure.
But we were talking about what's driving agritourism from the farmer's point of view.
Right.
But you just touched upon what's driving it from the consumer's point of view. And yeah, this whole farm-to-table movement.
It's huge.
Well, yeah, and it's the perfect time for agritourism.
Uh-huh.
Because I think it was it 2008 or 9, very recently, the world population tipped towards cities. For
right.
the first time ever.
Right.
More people lived in cities than in a rural area.
Right.
Right?
The sticks.
So we're getting further and further away from our country roots.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
People don't walk around barefoot anymore. People wear shirts underneath their overalls.
Right.
It's just, you know, urban.
Sure.
So I guess this desire to be able to go back to the farm.
Yeah.
Is definitely part of why this is, why consumers are going there, right?
Well, and Robert makes a point which is very valid, which is especially if your family, if that was your roots, your ancestry, you may not know anything about that. And it might be a neat way to get in touch with your ancestry and your roots.
Right.
Go back, see what it's like to milk a cow, because great-great-granddad did that for a living.
Sure.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. You can feel your great-great-granddad's ghost looking over your shoulder like, you're doing it wrong.
Right. You got to yank down and to the left.
No.
I've never milked a cow. I don't know how to do it.
So you've got supplementary. There's complementary, which is where it's about half and half. And a good example of this kind of agritourism outfit is a pumpkin patch, right?
Yeah. So, like, they may sell half of their pumpkins to, you know, a wholesaler. And then they may keep half of them for the fall tours, and people can walk around and pick their own pumpkin and then carve it and have some snot-nosed teenager come and smash it.
Right.
And some awful band will name their band after that act. Jerry just laughed at that.
I heard that. She's like, mentioned smashing pumpkins?
So that's complimentary.
And then there's primary. And primary is the one where your farm is growing nothing but weeds, right? Nothing you can sell. And you turn it into an agritourism destination. Like, you almost all of your income is coming from the fact that there are people coming to your farm.
But
to
you're still growing stuff, though.
Well, you are. You have to, like, grow something, but it doesn't necessarily have to be sellable, right? As long as people think it looks pretty, then you're fine.
Sure.
Now, there's back in 1999, the director of the UC Davis Small Farms Program publicly worried that if ranchers and farmers didn't get in on the agritourism action soon enough, the market was going to be open wide enough for, like, theme park operators to do this.
Really?
Which would be the primary enterprise aspect. And there's a guy who's a former Disney exec who actually started a company to make mazes that take about 2 hours to get through.
Really?
On farms, yeah.
Well, that's huge. The corn maze in the fall.
That's agritourism, buddy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You ever done one of those?
I haven't. I'm terrified at the thought of, like, getting trapped in there forever.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Mazes, huh?
I don't like mazes.
I bet the end of The Shining is pretty harrowing for you, huh?
No, because I'm not there, but yeah.
Sure.
Like, I've got, like, three mirror neurons.
Oh, if you were Danny, though, then it would have been frightening.
Oh, I would have just laid down and died.
Yeah, say, come kill me, Dad.
Yeah. Make it quick.
So Robert likens it to ecotourism, which is not too far off. Wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm. They both have tourism in the name.
Well, yeah, and the cool thing about agritourism and ecotourism, well, actually more agritourism, is you don't have to necessarily throw a lot of money into it as a farmer, because you got the farm. Sometimes you just got to open the gates and advertise and say, come to our apple farm and pick some apples.
Yeah.
No. So it's not like you got to sink a lot of money into an enterprise.
Right. And one of the rules of thumb, if you're a agritourism farmer and you're actually trying to sell some of your stuff too, you want to keep the littlest kids, like, occupied away from your produce, because apparently they represent a huge portion of shrinkage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I guess petting zoos are the best way to do it.
And like, that petting counts zoos too, right?
It is. Because if you've ever wanted to watch a small child inadvertently kill a rabbit by petting it too eagerly, then agritourism is right up your alley.
That doesn't happen.
Sure it does.
That's awful. Kids and their rough love. Sometimes they just don't know.
Let's talk about some different types of agritourism, Chuckers.
Well, you mentioned the direct market, which is like fruit stands, that kind of thing. Robert calls this one education and experience. And this is more along the lines of like a bed and break, like Serenby. You know Serenby, south of Atlanta?
I saw, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
You know, they have an apprenticeship too.
Oh, really?
That lasts from March to November.
Huh.
Yeah. I looked it up. Pays $800 a week plus housing and utilities.
Wow.
And they teach you the ins and outs of organic farming, keeping farm records. Like, it's pretty well organized, it sounds like. There's actually, while we're on that, there's if you go onto the National Sustainable Agriculture Information Service site.
Okay.
And then search sustainable farming internships and apprenticeships. It brings them up for the entire country.
Cool.
Yeah, so if you're into this kind of thing, if you want to be like an agriculturist rather than an agritourist, it's out there for you.
You know, if I was 15 years younger and single, you would find me down at Serenby living right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, man, I'd love that.
Really?
Yeah, it's gorgeous down there. Hmm. So that's the idea of like the bed and breakfast package, where they say, hey, stay at our bed and breakfast and work a little bit on our farm and learn how to churn butter and eat the food that we serve you that's straight from the farm to table.
Yeah, you saw that one Maverick farm in North Carolina.
North Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I love that. Throw that down.
It's in Valley Crucis, North Carolina, and it's a bed and breakfast. It's situated in a 140-year-old, 125-year-old farmhouse, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's $120 a night for a room, but you can work off up to, I think, 25% of your bill at $7 an hour by acting as farm labor, like
a
farmhand. Yeah.
And then you eat with the family in their home every night.
From the stuff that they grow.
Yeah. And they said that you can, it's an option if you want to donate a little money back for the meal, you can.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to picture you there. You'd be like, I ain't working. 120 is a good rate. I'll just be here on the porch.
Right, watching you people work. I'm paying to watch other people work on a farm.
And then the other type is recreation and event agritourism. And that's more like the big fall festival.
Yeah.
Corn mazes, pumpkin picking, hay rides.
Sheep shearing contest.
Do they have those?
Sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. Pie eating contest.
Yeah.
It, basically, if there's an event that you're attending and say a pageant and it's Miss and then insert your own vegetable, that's agritourism.
The Miss Squash of Canton or whatever, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Another one that was pretty cool that he mentions in here is the U.S. Department of Agriculture operates one called Home Place by the Lakes National Recreation Area in Tennessee. And they go a step further and combine a little like Colonial Williamsburg in with it. So they'll dress up instead of a Civil War reenactment.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be dressed up in the old school clothes showing you how to churn butter. I imagine it's like the Amish would probably be like, dude, that's our life.
Have you ever
come
seen
come watch us?
Have you ever, right? Exactly. It's like the opposite of Rumspringa.
Yeah. Exactly.
that's what we just figured out the key to agritourism. It's the opposite of Rumspringa.
Yeah. It's the opposite. It's
Bing,
the Amish.
Bang, boom. Have you ever seen the Ollie G episode where Barack goes to like a living history farm in South Carolina?
Uh-uh.
I strongly recommend that one. It's
really?
Hilarious.
Goodness. There's another one called the Connor Prairie Living History Museum, which is sort of what you're talking about right there.
This one's pretty serious.
Yeah, this is in Fishers, Indiana, and there's an outdoor museum, and you can see how things operated in the 1800s. And then they go a little step further, and they actually have a program called Follow the North Star, which allows you the chance to see what it was like to be a slave trying to escape.
Yeah.
Which I wonder how they do that.
I think they have guys and dogs running after you.
Really?
Yeah, and tracking you. That's what I took from it.
Yeah, that's tricky. I mean, that's living history right there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to do that.
Can you see yourself running through the woods like, I hate agritourism.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.
So, Josh, one of the ideas behind agritourism is that people will be so inspired by their trip that it will form sort of a relationship with the farm and that they will want to support that farm even after they have left the farm.
This appears to be like a long-term goal of agritourism. It's not just short-term. It's more like they want to remind the city slickers that farms still exist and that the city slickers are welcome to come by and empty their wallets there. You know? Like, keep coming back again and again. And actually, that works because I was raised as an agritourist, going to McQueen Orchard in Holland, Ohio.
Really?
To pick apples. And still to this day, like, my family, when we visit Ohio, we'll go to McQueen's. We schedule it around the time where the apples are ripe. Amazing. Best donuts in the entire world. Like, I kid you not.
Really?
Yes. Everything's just perfect there. Just go to McQueen's.
Apple fritters, too, I bet.
Apple fritters, their apple cider is just...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and the apples themselves, you just climb the trees and pick them and eat them and, you know, take off your shirt. It's awesome.
So where I was going, though, with the repeat businesses, you've heard of the CSA, the Community Supported Agriculture Programs?
Yeah.
And that's when you sign up as a collective. Well, you sign up personally. You form a collective as a whole, and you basically pay money up front to get a box of vegetables, like, once a month. I mean, the programs are different. Delivered to your home, or sometimes you go pick them up.
Right.
And the cool thing is, and you should know this because some people might not think it's so cool, is you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, but you get a lot of what you don't know what you're going to get.
Well, yeah. So you got to be open-minded. You got to be willing to experiment with vegetables you may never have cooked with before.
It's probably a good idea to know how to can things.
Yeah.
Because you really get a lot of stuff. This is one of the things I've always heard from people who have co-op subscriptions.
Yeah.
That, like...
All this kale.
So much
All
stuff.
This kale.
Yeah.
Tennessee Tech has a program. They say that they're the first university in the state of Tennessee to offer a degree in agritourism because they say this is the future and you're going to need managers and people that know the trends in this business.
I think this represents the people who are, like, theme parks are going to get into this.
You think so?
Yeah.
Like Lettuce Land, that kind of thing? No?
I wouldn't call it that, but possibly.
I got a couple of stats for you.
Yeah, yeah, it's successful, right?
Well, yeah, I got one for the state of Colorado, at least. They say that agritourism contributed $2.2 billion to their state's economy and that 13.2 million visitors engaged in last year in agritourism in Colorado. It's pretty awesome.
So the one I have is from the 2007 U.S. Census of Agriculture, 23,350 farms in the U.S., have some sort of agritourism thing going on, right?
Yeah.
And about 3,600 of those were making $25,000 or more a year from it.
Yeah, this billion number seems really suspect to me. I wonder if it's not million for Colorado.
Yeah, because the total for all of the U.S. in 2007 was $566 million. I don't know if that was gross revenue because it sounded like your stat was like economic impact.
Yeah.
That would include like the gas people got.
Sure.
Coming into the state and
yeah.
You know, hotels that they stayed in when they were picking apples.
That still seems high. But that's what the Colorado State Extension Service said.
Well, they're pretty well known to be rather liberal with their numbers.
Right?
Yeah.
Hippies.
So let's see. What else, Chuck?
I don't have much else. Do you?
Greatest winery scene of all time. Not in Sideways.
Found in
the British comedy series Absolutely Fabulous.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't watch that show. I knew it was supposed to be great, but I didn't watch it.
And that particular episode was hilarious.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think going to a winery is a great way to participate in agritourism.
And not just wineries. They have like homegrown breweries now, too, as well, like brewery tours.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to do that,
like,
too.
People grow the hops on their land and make the beer, and you drink it. And
yeah, I'd like to go to the Sierra Nevada plant.
I would, too.
It's one of my goals in life. Go find where they make that sweet nectar.
Have you been to Sweetwater?
No. I've never been there.
Oh, Chuck.
I know. Right down the street.
It's like a good little happy hour place.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, it's fun.
Give you tastings and all that?
Uh-huh.
Is that agritourism?
No.
Not really?
No, not at all. Industrial tourism, maybe.
Yeah, that's visiting a brewery.
Sure. So that's it. That's agritourism plus a touch of industrial tourism, just as an extra little nugget.
That was free.
Yes, it was. All right, so if you want to learn more about agritourism, read an article by Robert Lamb just to complete the series. You can type in agritourism, A-G-R-I, tourism, in the handy search bar at howstuffworks.com.
Yeah, and support your local farm. Get on the internets and There's something nearby.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. Oh, and actually,
what's that website? You got one?
I do. I give you the one for the apprenticeships.
Yeah.
If you want to actually be the person working that people are gawking at.
Right.
If you want to gawk at people working on a farm, go to Rural Bounty, R-U-R-A-L, bounty.com.
I thought it would be agri-gawker.
No? It's the same thing.
Okay.
It's time now for administrative details.
Administrative details.
You ready?
Should we set this up for people who don't know what this means? Because it's the worst title ever.
It is not. It's very succinct and to the point.
These are gift thank yous from fans that send us things in hopes that we will promote their little Etsy site.
Well, not just gifts, like sometimes correspondence.
Yeah, correspondence, postcards.
So it's been a while, and we've gotten some pretty good stuff, a lot of stuff.
This is going to take like an hour.
It is. Just want to say thanks to Mr. Cohn at Waterford Union High School in Waterford, Wisconsin, for the nice letter and the information on goats that produce spider silk, including a drawing.
Go Badgers.
Yeah. Yeah, he was actually...
Was it Badger?
The Badger. He
I
was the mascot for a while. Wisconsin.
Oh. I thought I made that up.
No, you're thinking of Wolverines.
That's a lucky guess.
You go.
Center College women's volleyball team sent us one of their t-shirts. They are the Spandex Mafia.
I saw, yeah.
We all three got one.
Yes. Thanks to Kristen for even more nougat. Thank you. It's delicious.
Oh, yeah. Kristen thanks. Ferguson with her nougat.
Yeah. Thanks to Sarah Michelle for the copy of Dianetics. Hardcover, no less.
You got that?
Yeah.
Wow.
You got that.
Jeremy and Heather in Asheville, North Carolina make eco-friendly artwork. Custom wood-carved wedding cake toppers.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent, they made a little Josh, a little Jerry, and a little Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really awesome looking. I put it on Facebook.
Yeah, you were very proud of this.
I just thought they looked really cool. And they were, you know, they look like us. And you can shop with them if you would like at urastarhouse.etsy.com. That is urastarhouse.etsy.com.
Nice, Chuck. Thanks to Kentuckianite Nikki for the postcard of the London Eye. Yeah. Thanks a mil to Kevin at jadabugroasters.com. That's J-A-D-A-B-U-G roasters.com for the not 1, but 2 pounds of coffee.
Why didn't I see any of this?
You always give me the coffee. I just didn't even pass this one by you.
Man.
I'll bring it in for you if you want.
David Pauly, San Francisco. He runs a small print shop, and he sent... some cool custom concert posters that he prints, and I collect these posters, and he said he would keep me in mind for the future and sending me some of these.
That's very nice. Did he send you two versions of the same? Is that the one I have?
Jerry got one too. We all three got one.
Okay. That's same. Very cool.
Very cool.
I would have liked to have been at that festival. Thanks to Casey from Huntsville for the very nice letter and the sketch of the octopus. Keep listening, Casey, and we will keep you laughing, right?
Jennifer of Lynchburg, Virginia sent us little Enneman Christmas ornaments. Very cute.
They are very cute.
Yes.
Thanks a million to Kate in Sunnyvale for our awesome card. That's the one that has us as the Estonian wedding couple.
Oh, yes.
Thank you to Matt and Zach at the Our List podcast. Have you been on there?
Yeah, they sent us shirts.
Yes, they did send us shirts. And at first, without reading the card, I thought it was a drawing of us.
I did too.
These guys are our doppelgangers.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, it's sort of a good likeness, but not really. But it's
right.
Not even us.
No. Now I'm like, oh, okay, it's them. So they have a podcast called Our List.
Uh-huh.
If you want to check it out, it's Our List Podcast, I believe.
And speaking of shirts, Standard Clothing and Print in Candor, North Carolina sent us some shirts. And I got a Hoosiers t-shirt, a Jimmy Chitwood number 15 Hoosiers t-shirt.
It's because you are a well-loved celebrity, Chuck.
And Jerry got one and you got one, different ones, and that is standardclothingandprint.com.
Mm-hmm. Thank you to Amy, who sent us a copy of her doctoral thesis, Ametrica, with an exclamation point about the metric system and how it should be used in America. And it's pretty awesome. I wrote a blog post on it. And she mailed it. I got it like 2 days later.
Oh, cool.
So you can check that out. Just type in Ametrica, and it brings up some stuff. I don't think she has an actual site for it, though. Although, she's on Twitter, a much-neglected Twitter account, Ametrica.
Interesting. I got two more. Matt invented his own chewing gum.
It's good, too.
It's called Think Gum, and it's supposedly brain-boosting with herbal extracts and naturally caffeinated. And you can find that at thinkgum.com. Mm-hmm. And my last one, a little controversial in my house. We got handmade soaps sent to us.
Mm-hmm. From Jan Marie Silvera.
Yeah, World Soaps, W-H-I-R-L-E-D soap. And I told Emily about this because everyone knows my wife makes her soap. She was like, let me see that. She checked it out and checked out the ink. She immediately looks at the ingredients. It's the first thing she always does. She was like, oh, it's actually, you know, made of essential oils and olive oil and palm oils. Good stuff.
Good soap.
Yeah, it's really good soap.
Thank you to Cameron. Your letter got to us just fine. Thanks to the Pinks for sending their CD.
Pinks.
Thanks to El Michelle down in Panama for the postcard. Very titillating postcard.
Yeah.
Thanks to Vanessa for the jackalope postcard. Still got some more, Chuck. Hang in there. Thanks to Jan from Niagara Falls for a postcard of the namesake of her hometown. Thanks to Amaret in Boone, North Carolina for the nice letter. We'll see what we can do. Thanks to Laurel who sent us the Meyer Lemon Vanilla Bean Marmalade.
I didn't know about that either.
Okay, I didn't know if I gave you some or not. So,
you just funnel some of these straight to Josh's house. I never even hear about them.
I had to ask you for the gum.
Yeah, and I gave you the whole box.
Thank you to Nick from Mud River Coffee.
Uh-huh.
MudRiverCoffee.com.
So you got more coffee.
This is where I got the idea to just keep the 2 pounds for myself. I was like, well, we'll split this. You're like, you're the coffee guy. You keep it.
Oh, I did say that.
Awesome coffee. Let's see. Thanks to Katerina from Lenifalu, Hungary for the nice postcard of Joseph Stalin. Thanks to Robert for the Route 66 postcard. Thanks to Zach Netzer for the awesome mix CD. Thanks to Andrew Smith at andrewsmithart.com for the DVDs. Did you see those?
I did.
Thank you to Jen from Australia for the postcard of the theme park. And thank you to Staff Sergeant Rustin Koziar. I think it's Koziar. For the postcard from Afghanistan.
Be safe.
That is it. Yes. All of you, not just the staff sergeant.
Yeah, everyone be safe.
And thank you very much for sending us some stuff. If you guys want to, run in droves to the Stuff You Should Know Facebook page. And if you have a link that you want to share with everybody, please do, because all the stuff was great. Thank you. And if you want to send us something, you can find our address by emailing us. It's stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.